Hallelujah. Well, I only know where to start. You can look up two verses. You can pinch them together. They're both in John. I just kept hearing this phrase, can do nothing. You know, and I knew the one, you, without me, you can do nothing. I knew that. But I thought, well, I'm just going to look up that phrase, can do nothing. And John chapter 5, verse 19, and then pinch together between there and John chapter 15 and verse 5. And believe it or not, this actually has everything to do with this morning's message. And I didn't look it up again because he's not alone. That's not, that sort of preparation is not what he's having me do right now. It goes all the way back to Exodus when they were about to go into the promised land. And God just flat told Moses, he says, God says, I'm not going to go with you. Now I did promise to give you I promised Abraham to give you this land and I'm going to give it to you. But you're a stiff-necked and rebellious people. And it's not worded exactly this way, but basically he's saying, if I go with you, I'm going to have to kill you. Get out. And Moses says, that's not good enough, basically. We thank you for giving us the land, but if you're not going to go with us, don't send us. And there's this revival that we're pressing into, I know because he keeps telling me again and again, it will be known in history as the Presence Revival. Presence, his presence. And it's not going to be marked by great names, although there will be leaders, there's always leaders in every army. But it will be Joel's army. And like the Lord said this morning, the Ark of the Covenant had to be carried on the shoulders of the priest. You couldn't build a cart. You couldn't make a modern way. There's only the old way. And the old way is you carry my presence on your shoulders. And he has made us kings and priests. And without that presence, well, he can do things, really, without his... I'm being very careful. Every gift of the Spirit, which can only be done by the Holy Spirit, every gift of the Spirit can be found in the Old Testament through spiritually dead people, except tongues and interpretation of tongues. But you'll find all the rest of them. I've done it before. I've searched it out. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, miracles, healings, all of them. Now, what does that tell you? He certainly, they were not born again. They did not have the Spirit of Christ literally dwelling in them. Yet the Holy Spirit was able to work through them, I guess, with them. That's a better word. Able to work with them. And Jesus, talking about the coming Holy Spirit, said, he said, now you know him, for he's with you. And obviously he had been. I mean, he would send out the 12, and then he'd send out the 70, and they had the power to cast out devils. Well, that's the Holy Ghost. They had power to heal the sick. That's the Holy Ghost. Yet they were not born again yet. They were still spiritually dead men that loved the Lord. So the Holy Spirit obviously can work through you without being, let's see, I wanted to say it a different way. The Holy Spirit can work with you without working through you. Does that make sense? You see, in John 5:19, Jesus makes this astounding statement. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, capital S, the Son, can do nothing of himself. Stop. Now, if that's talking about the capital S Son that was seated in heaven with the Father before the creation of the world, Trust me, he can do stuff. Because John chapter 1 tells us that all things were made by him. And it's talking about the Word, the second member of the Godhead, the Son. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. No, not one single thing in the Greek. So once when he says here that the Son can do nothing, even though they have it capitalized here, he's really not talking about himself as creator. He's not talking about who he was before he became a man. He's talking about Jesus of Nazareth. He's talking about himself as the man, born of God. Now, he's the only human being on planet Earth at that moment, born of God. But he is a man born of God. He's like Adam in the garden, born of God, but a man. Got that? And he had to succeed where the first Adam failed, and that's why all the temptation in the wilderness, the enemy thought he would trip the second son up just like he tripped the first son up. But how many of you know Jesus passed the test? Glory to God. But when he says here the Son can do nothing of himself, he's not talking about himself as the second member of the Godhead. See, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our prototype in everything. See, it's not hard for me to say Gary of himself can do nothing. What I mean is when it comes to power, supernatural power. There's a lot of things I can do, and that's the problem. I get too busy doing Gary stuff where there's not much time left for God to do his stuff. But that's not really the subject tonight. Subject tonight is Jesus said about himself as a man, Jesus of Nazareth. But now remember, a man born of God, the only one on planet Earth with that spiritually alive spirit on the inside of him. But even that wasn't enough. See, and that's why we don't see Jesus doing any miracles before he was baptized by John. Now, he lived a holy life. I'm sure he never lied. It's hard to imagine raising a child. My daughter's here. But myself, it's hard to imagine raising a child that never tells a lie. But he never did. Had to be some different kind of child, you know. You know, it's no wonder that Mary said, whatever he says to you, do it. But he never did any miracles. He never did anything supernatural until he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. So that's really what he's talking about here. He says, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. Okay, wrong inflection. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In another place, he said, it's the Father in me. He doeth the works. Now, there's going to be a connection made here in a minute. I pray the Holy Ghost makes it clear. Even that's not, and the Holy Ghost always makes it clear. If he can find a vessel yielded enough to say it. I'm sure trying. So pinch that together. You got that thought? Jesus of Nazareth, the one we see walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Had he never been baptized with the Holy Spirit himself, where the Father could come with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of the Father. In another place it says he proceeds from the Father. It is the Father's Spirit. Jesus always knew the Father God was in heaven. Like even when he'd blessed the bread before he broke it, it says he looked into heaven. He knew our Father, which art in heaven. We know God the Father's in heaven, but the Father's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the one that comes to dwell first with them, with the 12 and with the 70, but he was working through Jesus. But now that we've been born again, it's that Spirit of the Father, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in us. Dwelling in us. Now see, if you stop right there, you go, well, if God the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me, and I believe the Bible, I believe he is, then how come, I mean, and I know he has all power. Homer is Bronx, Pastor Bronx, associate pastor in Immokalee. And sugar diabetes took his sight, if you want to know the truth of it. That's what did it years ago. Now, Pastor Dave went down there and prayed for him, and he got healed. He got his eyesight back for a season, went back to his job, driving his truck, doing what he was doing before. But then it left again. And even though Homer made tremendous physical body changes. Bronk, you know, got him into the gym, and I think he lost between 70 and 100 pounds. And I mean, he really got with it. But still, it took his eyesight, and Dave went back again to pray for him. And this time, he didn't receive his sight. So as of this moment, whatever day this is, February something, 21st in 2021, as of this moment that I'm doing this service, Homer Betancourt can't see. He's blind. So now, Gary, you just got through telling us that the Holy Spirit is in us and that He is God, that He is the Father's Spirit, and that He's the one really doing the works in us. And when Jesus said, it's the Father in me doing the works, He knew that God the Father was seated in heaven. Yet it is the Father's Spirit that came within Him on the day of, on the day He was baptized by John. And from that moment on, Jesus literally was the temple of God on earth with legs. And the Holy Spirit dwelt within Him. And Jesus would send out the 70 and the 12, and the Holy Spirit would work with them, but He was not yet in them. So you say, oh, Brother Gary, if that's all true, and I've got the Holy Spirit, He's God, I've got Him on the inside of me, the Bible plainly says, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. How come when Pastor Dave, or how come when I, let's get it more personal, how come when I pray for Homer, he doesn't see? Welcome to the prayer center. Welcome to the quest. Welcome to why we exist. And we are going to have the answer to that. But it's line upon line, precept upon precept. He's leading us into it. I keep talking so much my phone goes black. Jesus Himself says, so let me ask you, even though the Holy Spirit worked with the 12 and He worked with the 70, how many people before the resurrection, besides Jesus, had the Holy Spirit living in them? That would be a big zero, correct? Not a single one. Yet now, today, we have millions of believers around the world. Not all of them are Spirit-filled, but millions are. Yet, I don't know of one that I could call on the phone or hire or go get my friend Homer and get him to them. I don't know anybody. Now, everything can happen by the gifts, don't get me wrong. But I mean on a regular, like Dave said it this way, if Jesus was still on the earth and had His headquarters in Jerusalem, he said, if it's a take a number system, my number might be 3,426 or maybe 300,426. It might take me a year for me to get an audience with Jesus, for Him to pray for my friend Homer. But He says, one thing I know for sure. If I got my friend in the presence of Jesus, my friend is coming home seeing. Well, we've got the same Holy Ghost in us that Jesus said was in Him. It's the Father in me doing the works. Well, that's the Holy Spirit in you. I know they're three separate individuals. I just know that from the Scripture. You think about that too much, your brain starts leaking out your left ear. Because He is His own person. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we know that because Jesus, when He would refer to the Spirit of Truth, He said, now when He comes, He'd refer to Him as a He, not an it, not the force be with you, but He, the Holy Spirit. He's here, okay, I'm trying, Lord. Let's go back to when Jesus was baptized by John. Okay. You talk about passing a test. Jesus knew what that baptism was about. He didn't come to be baptized like everybody else to have His sins washed away. He didn't have any sins to wash away. Why in the world did Jesus, even John the Baptist says, you want to be baptized by me? I need to be baptized by you, you know. But Jesus, He didn't really explain. He just told him, you know, we need to fulfill all righteousness. So let's do this, John. Do it for me. And I only know this by the Spirit of God. But, you know, this is something He taught me while I was still driving trucks. But it's just so clear to me. And more, the more I'm in this, the more clear it is. But see, Jesus, you talk about passing a test that day. This is no less the test that when Abraham was asked to offer up Isaac. And God was watching, looking on his heart. And Abraham, that's a whole story. We could take an hour just, or a week talking about that. You know, Isaac wasn't a child anymore. He's a young man. I think he was 18 or 19, and maybe 20 in that ballpark. They're going up the mountain to do sacrifice and offer something to God. Let's see now. I see the wood. I see, here's my father. He's going to make sacrifice. I don't see any lambs. I don't see any goats or bulls. What are we going to sacrifice, Father? It's amazing to me that he yielded. Because he was actually, they built the altar. The wood was there. Laid Isaac on the wood. And he willingly did it. Well, you talk about a type and shadow. The son being willing. And Abraham had the knife raised in the air. You talk about a test. And it says Abraham had already in his heart, because he knew God cannot lie. And God had said through Isaac, not anybody else, through Isaac will your seed come. And Isaac had not yet had any children. So Abraham had already reasoned it out on the inside of him going, God cannot lie. I don't care what this looks like. He'll have to raise my son from the dead. But he was going to do it. He passed the test. And see, God looks on the heart. He said, stay your hand. Don't do it. I'll provide a sacrifice. That's the first time we hear of Jehovah Jireh, by the way. I will provide. And God provided. And there was a ram caught in a thicket. And the ram was offered. But see, God says, now I know. God was looking on the heart. The exact same thing is going on when Jesus is being baptized by John. He's not being baptized to have his sins washed away. He says, I know why I'm here, Father. It's clear to me that you have sent me to be the spotless lamb, to bear all the punishment of humanity. I will take it myself. And Father, this day, when John lays me down in the water, it's a type of the grave. When John lays me down, Father, that's my vow to you. I'm going. All the way. You talk about humble yourself. Humble yourself. In Philippians, he said he humbled himself, even that obedience, even unto the cross. Talk about passing the test. God's looking on his heart exactly the same way he looked on Abraham's heart. And when he saw his son go down under the water, it's like a gavel came down in the courtroom of heaven. It is finished. It is done. It was so accomplished already in the heart of Jesus that now God, see the other half of that visual vow is the faith of Jesus. Remember the man, Jesus, his faith. Father, the other half of this visual vow, when John raises me up out of the water, that is my faith in your promise. You will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will my flesh see corruption. See, and that means more to them than it does to us, because they believed on the fourth day is when corruption set in. That's why when they came to Lazarus, he'd already been buried 4 days. By now he stinketh. So when Jesus says, my flesh will not see corruption, that tells you in the Jewish mind, you're going to raise me before 4 days, 3 days later, raised from the dead for our justification. Now, the reason we went through that again, and I'm surprised he went that slowly. Somebody needed to hear it. I'm sure of it. At that moment, now the spirit of Jesus did not change. He was born spiritually alive. What we call the second birth, or the new birth, was his first birth. He had that nature from the very beginning, but so did Adam. And Adam failed. Isn't that right? So this one, this Adam, he has to not only pass the test in the wilderness from the devil. I mean, the first one failed there. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, he passed the test of obedience. Not offering his son, he's offering himself. Now, at that moment, now this is the recurring thing that I keep seeing. At that moment, when the Holy Spirit, the way it's worded, it descended on him, and you know, like a dove. Okay, I don't know. I believe that because that's what the Bible says. But what I keep seeing, at that moment, the Spirit of Jesus became the conduit, if you'll allow me, from heaven to earth, where the Holy Spirit could flow out of your belly. Shall, what's the next word? Flow rivers of living water. Jesus passed the test. He passed both of them. And at that moment of obedience, it says the Holy Spirit was poured out upon him, and Jesus, the man, Jesus of Nazareth, not the second member of the Godhead, Jesus as a man, became the conduit between heaven and earth. Whether you think that's a planet, you know, or anymore, I think of it more as another, just, I hate to use the word dimension. I don't know if it's right, but it's like another realm where time doesn't exist. So it's hard for me to think it's a planet. I think it's another realm. I think it's very close to us. I don't think it's far off. I think our God is very near. But from that realm of the Spirit, maybe he'll teach us more about that, but the Spirit of Jesus became the conduit through which God the Father, by His Spirit, could do the works. He said that pretty well, I think. Now the second verse, see, that's why John 15:5 now means so much more to me. That's why he says, I am the vine. Now, the Holy Spirit can use a lost person in the gifts. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a flow of the river of the Holy Ghost through you. Through you. Because Jesus is the vine. That's why you've got to be born again. Now, you don't have to be born again to be used in the gifts, but you do have to be born again for the river to flow. Because he says, I am the vine. He is the connector. He is the, I don't want to use the portal either because the way that's being used, but misused right now. But he is the vine. Let's just stay with the vine. From that realm of the Spirit to this earthly realm where we see the miracles, the Spirit of Christ is the vine. It is through that Spirit. It's by one Spirit that we are joined. By one Spirit we have access unto the Father. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that's that born-again spirit. So when he says here in John 15:5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. I did a drawing years ago that I didn't know I was going to need tonight again. He's not letting me prepare like I used to. But it's called The Flow. It's at my website. It's in the articles section on the right hand side. If you click in the article section, and I believe it's the very last one in that list of articles, it's called The Flow. And I can draw it even more accurately now than I could then, although it's fine the way it is there. But the Spirit of Jesus is the connector. He's what allows God the Father in heaven for his will, and I mean his not just his will, like like something he'd ask you to do that you could do. Like, go give Darren $1,000. That's God, isn't it, Darren? Yeah, see, I'm getting an agreement right there. See, that's something you can do, and we should do that. That's not what he's talking about here. No, he's talking about Homer and all the little blind children and all of the supernatural things that need to be done. I am the vine. You are the branches. See, at that time, after Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost, that's why he said in John 16, he says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man must flow into it. Okay? Well, what do you mean? Until John. He's talking about that day that he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And from that day through the rest of the Gospels to when, till he was raised from the dead, really, is probably the most unique time in all of human history. Because legally, mankind, like the Jew, was still under the law. But spiritually, the kingdom of God had come, and you see the two run in parallel for about 3 years. But see, the kingdom of the God only makes sense if there's a king. The king had been coronated that day. Thou art my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus is the second man. God's only ever made two men. Adam and the last Adam. Jesus Christ. Beyond that, he uses us to make people. Hallelujah. I am the vine, you are the branches. At that time, Jesus was the branch. Now I'm talking Jesus the man. He was the connector. The spirit on the inside of him was really, we can call it the Holy of Holies. You can call it whatever. But in this teaching, it's an opening somehow, a connector between the realm of the spirit where God is and the realm of the earth where humans live. And it was his spirit. That's why he says without, he says, I can't do anything apart from the Father. It's that flow. That's what does it. But see, obedience has everything to do with that. Humility has everything to do with that. I was telling, my memory right now, I was telling somebody even today, I said, a little over a year ago, he told me through another man of God, he said, but it was to me, Gary, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. And when you've humbled yourself to where you can't humble yourself anymore, then humble yourself some more. I was telling a person today, I said, today, I feel, I've never known more than I know today. Revelation knowledge, I know more today than I did a year ago. But in a way, I feel like I don't know anything. In a way, I feel like I don't know anything. To the point I'm afraid to stand before you sometimes. My prayer before I leave home now, if you're not going with me, if your presence isn't going to be there, if you're not going, don't send me. They'd be better off. Be better off just to go pray. We're going to be like that every day before we leave the house. If you leave the house, he's going to go with you. And I mean his presence. God, the Holy Ghost. We got a million believers or more on planet Earth. I don't know how many million on planet Earth right now that are genuinely born again. And many, many, many of them, millions, I'm sure, are what we call filled with the Holy Ghost. And they are. Because he has so perfectly shown me, even it just nailed it down. Nobody can speak in other tongues without having the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one creating the language. You can't pray in other tongues without him. So you'd have to say however million, many million that is on, can I just say tongue talkers on planet Earth? Each and every one of them has the measure, the presence of the Holy Spirit to some degree. And I mean, he's with them all the time. He's with me all the time, whether I'm aware of it or not. He's told me that before. I'm with you whether you're aware of it or not. And we all know we can begin to pray in tongues anytime we want to. Now, again, I'm talking to you like you know stuff. I'm talking to you like you know stuff. But there's so many things here I'm teaching to those that have walls built on the revelation knowledge brought by Pastor Dave Roberson. Things like there's four diversities of tongues, and only one out of the four did he give us the ability to exercise it anytime we want to, and that's the prayer for edification, where you're building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But we know we can do that. We've been doing it for years, and you can pray anytime you want to, and you can't do that without the active participation of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're still talking about Homer, if you don't mind. So, Gary, you've got the Holy Spirit? Yes, I do. Can you pray in tongues? Yes, I can. I can shandai my hondai right along with you. Yeah. I can tie my bow tie. How does Alan do it? Shakalaka, shakalaka. But how come I got God the Holy Ghost in me and I can't get Homer's sight for him, see? I talk so much, phone goes blank. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Yes, sir. Okay. He wants, that's the only verse I have on the page. Oh, I've got it here quicker. Okay. Now, he gives more details about this abiding in him. Come on down to verse 9, John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me. Okay, we'll go back up one more. Herein is my Father glorified. How many of you want to glorify God? Well, I do. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. What kind of fruit? Salvation fruit? Healing fruit? How about receiving your sight fruit for somebody that needs that? Okay. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now that means the disciple is not above his master, but it's enough that he be as his master. Well, if we are as our master, what's going to happen? Homer's going to get his sight. And all the other miracles I could list, we're just using that one tonight. But he keeps teaching about that, and I keep touching my phone wrong, so hang on. Thank God I know where it is. As the Father hath loved me. Now, it's amazing to me. I never saw the connection so clear. John 14 is the same way. This is this passage and others. Every time he really starts talking about fruit or starts talking about the works, right there, or right like bookmarks almost, or not bookmark, bookends almost, is love. And then and it's a certain kind of love. It's a love that obeys. See, John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me. See, we read that too fast. Wow. How much did the Father love Jesus? We don't have vocabulary for how much the Father loved Jesus, do we? And Jesus says, so have I loved you. But then he says, continue you in my love. Now, this has to do with abiding. You'll see it here in a minute. John 15:10, he says, continue you in my love. And then he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Oh, wait a minute. This fruit has to do with obedience. Jesus had the Ten Commandments. You think he's talking just about the Ten Commandments here? Sure, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. I like how Dave would put it. That's the DNA of God. That's just who he is. But see, when he's talking here, we referred to it over in Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself and he became obedient, even to the death of the cross. So he was obedient not only to the Ten Commandments and those type of things. He's obedient to whatever the Father told him to do. Whatever the Father told him to do. Whether it made sense to his rational mind or not. Now I think the Holy Spirit brought him a lot of information. He said, Gary, you keep talking like he's not God. No, I know he is God. But he did not function on planet Earth as God. He had to get his information from the Holy Ghost the same way you get your information from the Holy Ghost. Boy, I made a lot of people mad right there. But it's the truth anyway. Otherwise, how is he the author of our faith? Otherwise, how is he our prototype? If he's doing things as God, we're left out. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So he's talking about abiding in the Father's love by doing whatever the Father says. See, and that's the humbling of Jesus. Not my will. See, we only read that once in the garden, but that was his prayer every day, I'm sure, and multiple times a day. Not my will. He had flesh just like we have flesh. Not my will, but thine be done. This morning we talked about always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the dying. Whatever you say, that's what I do. My life is yours. Use me as you will. We quote that all the time. So verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And here he goes again. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And here it is. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. It keeps coming down to obedience. Okay. We'll see. Remember the picture I described to you a while ago? There's a flow. And if God the Father is on one side, God in heaven, and then we, the disciples, are over on, there's like a pipe, a connector in between these two realms. There's God, the realm of the Spirit where God lives. Then there's the realm of the natural where we live. God is wanting to do work here. And he's wanting to do it not just by the gifts. Now we're, again, I go back to Hans's message that was excellent. We're supposed to desire and covet earnestly the best gifts. Or Robert said, which one is the best? It's the one you need at the time. Okay? And in the blueprint, we're told he wants all of the gifts flowing through all of us. Okay? But this is different. Operating in this is different than the gifts. He can do the gifts through unsaved people, but he can't do this through unsaved people. Not the way he's wanting to do this flow. So again, God the Father in heaven, us on planet Earth, where the say Homer on planet Earth, Homer, okay, or blind children or whatever. How does the Father do that from heaven to earth? Jesus is the vine. He is the connector between the two. I am divine. He is the connector. Okay? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall bear much fruit. So now what I'm seeing, though, I could put B right there in the middle, because it's the Spirit of Christ in her that allows the flow from the spiritual realm to the material realm. Christ is in you. That's why he said, out of your belly will flow, not a trickle, rivers, plural, of living water. God the Father, by this spake he of the Holy Ghost, who had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been crucified and resurrected, see, but he has been for us. So what I'm seeing now for revival, if you've got Jesus, you already got the connector. There is a flow already to some extent through each and every one of us. Again, otherwise you couldn't pray in tongues. But this purging process that he's got us in, what I saw just now was clogged arteries. Too much Gary in the pipe. Too much Gary still blocking the flow. I know that's why we have the blueprint right now. Come away with me. Spend time with me. And every hour that we give him, there's less and less Gary in the pipe. More and more that pipe is just a pure, clean, where the Holy Spirit can flow like a river. And is that not what we're after? But he connects love through obedience. Every time I see him teaching this, I heard, show him in John 14. Okay. And we'll close with this if you'll let me. John 14. Verse 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough, it'll suffice us. But Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that's normally where I would stop reading, really, on that subject. But verse 15, here's the connector. Or here, he is the connector. Verse 15 is about love. Now look, if you love me, keep my commandments. And there it is again. We want to do these greater works. We want every cripple whole. We want all of those things. We want all of Tulsa saved, don't we? But he says, and you're going to do those works and greater works. But right with that, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you, here it is, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. That means orphans. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. All I know to do is to continue to do the instruction that we've been given in the blueprint. We've had a lot of gut shots, belly punches in many ways over the last few months. And I can tell by my natural reaction what the enemy's after. Because when you get a gut punch that bows you over and that you can't change. The natural reaction is, I don't want to pray anymore. What good is prayer? I don't even want to be around you anymore. Maybe not even want to go to church next Sunday, you know. Probably not going to go to prayer this week. Fasting, forget it. Give me another slice of chocolate pie. Oh, chocolate cake is what I use this morning. Well, if that's the reaction that results, if that's the tendency that results from the gut shot, that's the purpose of the gut shot. It's not really about us. Ultimately, it's about revival. And more than that, it's about Jesus. Remember, that spirit that's in the world is an anti-Christ spirit. Not really anti-Gary, not really anti-Sue, not really anti-B. It's an anti-Christ. And it's Christ in you that he's trying to stop. How many joined with me and said, it's too late. It's too late. I'm not going to stop. I'm not ignorant of your devices, devil. I can tell what you're trying to do, so I'm going to do just the opposite. If through this gut shot you're trying to get me stop praying, I'm going to double down. You're trying to get me to stop worshiping God, I'm going to worship God even more. I'm going to push away from the chocolate cake. And I'm going to devour your word, for it is meat to me. It is my meat. Lord Jesus, whatever you say to me, whatever you say to me in your word or directly, that is my life. I have no will apart from yours, Lord. And he says, if you do that, if you obey his commandments like that, I didn't read it all the way, but later on he says, the Father and the Son comes to dwell in you. And I mean to abide. To abide. I believe right there is where Homer gets his sight. Right there is where Homer gets his sight. So let's not get discouraged. Let's not become weary in well-doing. Let us press towards the mark. Every time you feel a tendency in you wanting to slow you down or quit or stop praying or don't go to church or whatever it is, just understand that's the enemy. And it's not about you, it's about revival. I could quit. I could quit. I am going to quit. Hang on. Friku marate kais. If you're unfamiliar with this, this is called tongues and interpretation. There is a supply of my spirit. There is a filling that can come. But there is a filling that comes only from being in my presence. Time and time again I call to my beloved, come away with me. Spend time with me. Let me fill you with myself, says the Lord. Let me fill you to the overflowing where your cup runs over with my spirit. You already walk in a measure, but there is a supply of the Spirit that can be increased through time spent in fellowship with me. I hear you knocking at my doors, says the Lord. I hear you, and the door is open. Come on in. Come on in. Spend that time with me like the firstborn did. And you'll walk out with more bread than you ever thought you'd deliver. And we will see the revival. The whole world will see the revival that testifies to the truth that Jesus is raised from the dead. Jesus is Lord of all. Do not become weary in well-doing. Press. Your best days are ahead of you, says the Lord.